J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
It was April the 41st, being a quadruple leap year. I was driving in downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was in a rented Stingray, and it was overheating. So I pulled into a Shell station. They said I'd blown a seal. I said, fix the damn thing and leave my private life out of it, okay, pal? While they were doing that, I walked over to a place called the Oyster Bar, a real dive. But I knew the owner. He used to play for the Dolphins. I said, hi, Gil! You have to yell, he's hard of hearing. Gil was also down on his luck. Fact is, he was barely keeping his head below water. I bellied up to the sandbar. He poured me the usual. Rusty snail, whole grunion, shaken, not stirred. With a peanut butter and jellyfish sandwich on the side. Heavy on the mako. I slipped him a fin. On porpoise. I was feeling good. I even dropped a sand dollar in the box for Jerry's squids. For the halibut. Well, the place was crowded. We were packed in like sardines. They were all there to listen to the big band sounds of Tommy Dorsey. What soul? Tommy was rocking the place with a very popular tuna, Salmon Chanted Evening, and the stage was surrounded by screaming groupers, probably there to see the bass player. One of them was this cute little yellowtail, and she's giving me the eye. So I figured this is my chance for a little fun. You know, piece of Pisces. But she said things I just couldn't fathom. She was too deep, seemed to be under a lot of pressure. Boy, could she drink. She drank a lot. I said, what's your sign? She said, Aquarium. I said, great, let's get tanked. I invited her up to my place for a little midnight bait. I said, come on, baby, only take a few minnows. She threw me that same old line. Not tonight, I got a haddock. And she wasn't kidding either, because in came the biggest, meanest-looking haddock I'd ever seen come down the pike. He was covered with muscles. He came over to me, said, listen, shrimp, don't you come trolling around here. What a crab. This guy was steamed. I could see the anchor in his eyes. I turned to him, I said, abalone, you're just being shellfish. Well, I knew there was going to be trouble, and so did Gil, because he was already on the phone to the cods. The haddock hits me with a sucker punch. I catch him with a left hook. He eels over. It was a fluke, but there he was, lying on the deck, flat as a mackerel. Kelpless. I said, forget the cods, Gil. This guy's gonna need a sturgeon. Well, the yellowtail was impressed with the way I landed her boyfriend. She came over to me, she said, hey, big boy, you're really a game fish. What's your name? I said, Marlin. Well, from then on, we had a whale of a time. I took her to dinner. I took her to dance. I bought her a bouquet of flounders. And then I went home with her. And what did I get for my trouble? Case of the clams. Think I had a wet dream. Cruising through the Gulf Stream.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, May 25th, 2022, 167 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How are you doing, kids? JC here. By the way, it's the first time I have played that song in maybe, gosh, it's got to be over a year. There's some guy chirping at me going, oh, you play Wet Dream like once a week. It's like, no, actually, that's not true. And I've not played that in so long. It's just so funny and so creative. And Kip Adada was a character, by the way. He belonged to a comedian's wiffle ball league. A bunch of comedians from all over the country, but you know, who all live in the same areas, basically, in Southern California, because the comedy clubs are out there where those guys all work. And somebody started talking about their love of wiffle ball from when they were kids. And one guy built, honest to God, I've seen pictures of this thing. It was like a wiffle ball stadium that he built in his backyard. I mean, the guy had bleachers and a wall and a scoreboard and a full field and everything. And the guys would all play wiffle ball out there. I think John Campanera was part of that. The guy did the, you know, the famous Harry Carey thing. And like I said, all these comedians would converge on this guy's backyard and they would play wiffle ball all the time. Oh, and by the way, the guy who had the wiffle ball stadium in his backyard, single. Like I needed to specify that. I think you probably figure that out by yourself. Little programming note here. We're going to be here tomorrow, and then we're going to be off for a couple of days, and then back next Tuesday. So we're going to be taking time off for the holiday, as is everyone else. Jeez, I hope you don't have one of those jobs where you got to work on the holiday, because after rain, just ugly weather here, going right up until the holiday, by the time Friday night, Saturday get here, supposed to be absolutely magnificent weather. And I'm talking like pool weather, lake weather, boat weather, all that sort of stuff this weekend all across the Midwest, including St. Louis. So anyhow, here tomorrow with a review of the new Top Gun movie. That'll be tomorrow. And then, like I said, taking off for a couple of days. Well, is this going to be the end of the St. Louis Blues season, or are they going to figure out some way to prolong this? I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm trying to remember a more humiliating loss, not just for the Blues, but any major St. Louis sports team, a more just overriding feeling of, oh, fuck, and I can't come up with one. I'm probably forgetting something, like maybe Mizzou. You know, some team came in and mopped the floor with Mizzou 56-0 or something like that, but I don't remember that. But as far as the St. Louis major sports, the Blues, Rams, Cardinals before that, the baseball Cardinals, when you take a snake like this six-time suspended guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm just telling you, this was, you talk about humiliation. And now, of course, David Perron, $5,000 fine, although I saw a guy post yesterday. It was probably the funniest thing I saw all day. The guy said the NHL fined David Perron $5,000. He paid it. He actually paid $10,000 so he can do it again tonight. It's pretty good. I thought the Catholics sort of had cornered the market on sexual abuse of young kids, but now it turns out that it's more widespread throughout the religious community because of the Southern Baptists. Now, they got 703 abusers, and supposedly they're going to make their names public here at some point, but who knew? Down in Florida yesterday, Tom Brady and the Gronk having baseball practice. And we learned something that sort of surprised me, because Tom Brady was in the batting cage down in Florida. He's a left-handed hitter, a lefty. Throws right, rights with his right hand, gets in the batter's box, left-handed hitter. This is like my wife, right-handed, but in softball, hits left-handed, and in golf, hits left-handed. We play golf together. We play golf together, and she makes a shitty shot. I always say, if you would just hit right-handed, you'd play a lot better. I want to go all the way back to 1986, and you may recall this because how many million people was it here? Let me just see if I got this. They say more than 6 million Americans held hands trying to form a line across the country to raise money for the homeless. Hands Across America had a couple of breaks, so homelessness was not conquered, but we all felt like we were doing something worthwhile, but it was on this date back in 1986. In 1992, Jay Leno made his debut as full-time host of The Tonight Show, succeeding Johnny Carson, taking the extremely poor advice of executive Helen Kushnick. Jay made no mention of Johnny Carson. Her strong-arm tactics were eventually exposed, and she was shown the door. I was on the phone with her one time. I met Jay Leno for the first time in 1980 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was playing Summerfest, which a lot of people in the St. Louis area are familiar with because they go up there. But it's a giant, like a whole week of outdoor concert events and stuff like that. I saw the Cars and the Motels, as a matter of fact, back in 1980. I emceed that show, big open air band shell and everything like that, permanent, you know, permanent fixture right on the lake. Then I saw him again in, let's see, let's get this, 1983 at a place called the Tralfalmador Cafe. It was a little sort of comedy club and small concert venue in Buffalo, New York. So now in 1984, I moved to St. Louis, doing the morning zoo there at KSHE. And I guess it was 1985, and he was coming to town, and somebody, I guess it was at the Funny Bone or something like that, said, here, call this number if you want to try to get Jay to be on the show. So I call the number. Sure enough, it's Helen Kushnick. And she was polite, but you could tell she had sort of like one of those show business agent type attitudes where she was like barely tolerating your very existence. And I remember saying to her, you know, oh, hi, Ms. Kushnick. My name is J.C. Corcoran, and I do the morning show, you know, here. And she just interrupted me, and she said, I know who you are, J.C. It's like, whoa, okay. I was both flattered and offended at the same time. But he thought he was getting away with something there because she was using all these really, really creepy strong-arm tactics. But then he would come out and just be this affable young comedian. Everybody loved Jay. But the dirty work was being done where very few people were aware of it until the whole thing blew sky high. Worst American air disaster in history on this date 43 years ago today in 1979. Remember, I was living in Grand Rapids, and so we would get Chicago television, and this plane took off. It was an American Airlines DC-10 and crashed right after takeoff. 271 people aboard the plane and two more on the ground killed. And I still remember this because when 9/11 happened, and particularly in Shanksville, and particularly the plane that went into the Pentagon, you know, when you looked at those crash sites, there was almost no trace of an actual airplane because the thing hit with such force that everything was sort of like almost vaporized. And the first time I had ever heard of anything like that was on this particular crash at O'Hare in Chicago, because I still remember Jane Byrne was the mayor of Chicago at the time, and they had all these first responders out there. And I remember her being interviewed, and she's like, there's nothing for anybody to do. There's nothing left. There's not even a plane here. It's just like a big, giant, dark spot, and that's really all that's left. You know, people are expecting to see, you know, big chunks of fuselage and engines and everything like that. But I guess the physics involved in the whole thing is that if it hits hard enough, with all that jet fuel and everything like that being incinerated, it's just like there's just plain nothing left. And Star Wars, released in theaters on this date in 1977. And this is the birthday of Ellie Raceman, two-time Olympic gymnast. And she's been a great activist within the athletic community for trying to wipe out all this sexual misconduct by coaches. And she is so poised, and she is so intelligent, and she is so impressive to watch at only 28 years old, and also just knockout gorgeous. What an absolutely appealing young woman. Gosh, I love her. Octavia Spencer, who was in The Help, and one of those badass mathematicians in Hidden Figures. That's a damn good movie, by the way. She's 52 today. Anne Heche, remember her? Ellen's ex, used to date Steve Martin, too. She's 53. Mike Myers, who seems like he's trying to make a little bit of a comeback these days, 59 today. Klaus Meine, Scorpion's lead singer, 74. Karen Valentine, who every red-blooded American boy had a crush on back in the 1960s. There was a situation comedy called Room 222, and she played one of the teachers. Gosh, she was pretty. 75 today. Frank Oz, you want to talk about multi-talented, the voice of Fozzie Bear, Cookie Monster, Bert, Grover, Animal, Miss Piggy, and Yoda. He also directed The Dark Crystal, Little Shop of Horrors, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, What About Bob? He's 78 today, and Sir Ian McKellen from the Hobbit, Lord of the Rings movies, X-Men, he's 83 today. Dustin Hoffman, John Voight, Midnight Cowboy, hit theaters on this date 53 years ago today in 1969. And it was on this date in 2004, I had just picked up my daughter from Our Lady of Lourdes grade school in University City. I brought her to my house in Olivet, where I used to have her for a few hours every afternoon before I had to take her back to her mom's. And I still remember I was on the phone with my lawyer just having a little chat about something. And all of a sudden, you know, the skies turned very, very dark. And the next thing you know, it's like, hey, that's hail coming down. And a few minutes later, I don't know how many inches of hail we had, but it had to be 2 inches of hail all over everything, busted the shit out of some windows. I had damage to the car. It's not just me, obviously, because this hit everywhere across the immediate St. Louis area. And then I still remember they had a lot of trouble up near Alton. If you drove by there, like on the way to Fast Eddie's or something, you would see these houses that had the siding just sheared off. Just the sheer force of the hail was like ripping siding off of houses. I got a new roof out of the thing. And I still have amazing pictures of my daughter standing there like ankle deep in hail after the storm passed. I didn't make her go out there while the hail was still falling. But once it stopped, I was like, go out there, honey. I want to take a picture of this. And I still have that picture. It's pretty amazing. But the other amazing part was that I had a very good friend who, I don't know how they met, but was a handsome guy. She's very pretty. And he was in town. I don't think he actually lived here. I think he was here because he was one of those guys doing all the insurance claims for the dent repair people. He was one of the guys who'd come out to your house and have little suction cups and everything and try to take the dents out of your car. And he was telling me about how much business he had. And in the spring, summer, and fall, he would just sort of travel all over the Midwest and go to whatever cities were hit with bad weather and particularly hail. And then he would come in, get a hotel, his company would put him up, you know, and then he would just repair as many cars as possible in a day and do that until all the cars, weeks and weeks, months actually, months doing all this repair work on cars. And then he would go to the next city, like, you know, Wichita or Oklahoma City or wherever they had the most recent hailstorm. And he would go there and he would do the same thing. The guy was making like between $400,000 and $600,000 a year doing that, getting reimbursed from the insurance companies. On average, $500,000. I'm sitting there going, I think I made a serious vocational error. Okay, as I said, tomorrow we'll be here with the last show until after the holiday, and I'll have my review of the new Top Gun movie. Yesterday, 38th anniversary of my very first show in St. Louis. Had a chat with the U-Man yesterday. Very, very fun talking with John, just reminiscing about the good old days. And I've got something really, really really funny picked out to play for you here in just a couple of seconds. You know, you're saying 38 years, whatever. How could you possibly do justice to 38 years of broadcasting? You got a week and you're just trying to play one highlight a day, so 4 or 5 bits that go way back. So what I decided to do this week is just play the really, really old stuff. These recordings that we sound like we're about 15 years old. And this is some of the oldest stuff I have on file. And we have another one of those coming up. This one today is actually from 1999. Mark Close, the Sports Monster, Steve Schlanger, Karen Kelly, and I think one of our engineers is involved in this, but I'll get to that here in just a couple of seconds. Of course, everybody talking about down in Texas, the death count now at 19 children, 2 teachers. This little spot on the map, 83 miles west of San Antonio, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th graders involved yesterday. I was going to play a soundbite for you from CNN last night where they were interviewing one of the first responders. They had to go in there, and they were actually using DNA records to identify some of the kids because their injuries were so massive. I guess just little kids, little 7, 8, 9-year-old kids with their heads basically blown off their bodies. So now the parents show up. They don't know whether their kids are dead or alive. And they're asking the parents for DNA samples, you know, doing that swab inside their cheek. And then they try to match the DNA with the body of the kid because that's how bad, how severe the damage to their little bodies was. Meanwhile, for hours and hours and hours, people sitting in a gymnasium somewhere in Texas, not knowing whether their little children are dead or alive. A lot of speeches yesterday, a lot of politicians, legislators, pundits. Greg Abbott. Oh, yeah, Greg Abbott, the guy who wants to protect the unborn so badly that he's writing laws and signing legislation like crazy to protect the unborn. Once you are born, well, he's not so interested anymore. 212 mass shootings in the United States of America so far this year, and it's not even Memorial Day yet. 212 mass shootings in this country. Right away, of course, people arguing about gun control. As I have specified a million times before, I do not own a gun. I'm not opposed to you having a gun. If I lived out in the country, I would have a gun because I would feel that it was probably a good idea. If I lived in one of the parts of the inner city where the police don't even show up anymore when you call 911, I'm sure I would have a gun. I don't have one now because I don't think I need one. I have friends who are hunters, sportsmen, you know, stuff like that, NRA members. They're all friends. They're all good people. I'm not anti-gun. I'm not interested in anybody trying to take away your gun. But I stand with the overwhelming majority of people, not only in this country, but also of NRA members who are in favor. Every poll that you see, every shred of research shows overwhelming support for better gun legislation to try to keep guns, especially assault weapons and weapons that are designed to take human lives, not for any sports purposes or hunting purposes, and especially doing something to tighten things up so mentally unbalanced people don't have access to weapons of mass destruction, which what these things are. But we don't live in a functioning democracy anymore because the gun lobby knows which legislators are in charge of bringing stuff like this to the House floor. They've paid them off, and so that legislation will never see the light of day. And as you know, my position is simple. If you have a traffic problem, if you have a traffic problem on the streets of your community, the solution to that traffic problem, generally speaking, is not to add more cars. But this is what we get. This is what we get. And we'll have this same discussion in another couple of weeks when, just like Buffalo and just like Uvalde, Texas yesterday, another one of these things happens in a couple of weeks. We are getting exactly what we deserve because the legislators who are on the take, the ones preventing any logical discussion, just the discussion alone of some sort of legislation to serve the public interest. We live in a democracy. The overwhelming majority of people in this country, by every piece of data that we have, indicates that the overwhelming majority of Americans are in favor of tighter gun legislation. But there's a very small number of people, very small percentage of people, who aren't happy with that. The right politicians are being paid off, and that's it. And for the people who already started chirping on social media last night about how it's not the guns, stupid, all I say is what I've said a million times the morning after one of these events takes place, and that is, okay, fine. Let's say for the sake of discussion that you're right, and all I ask now is, okay, then what is your suggestion to make this stuff not go away. You can't make it go away, but like anything else, seatbelts are not going to save every human life in the case of a car crash, because there are some car crashes that are so severe the seatbelt ain't going to help you. But it will mitigate the problem. It will dramatically decrease the number of deaths and serious injuries if you're wearing a seatbelt. And that's all I'm saying here, and that is, okay, instead of one of these, again, what is it? 212 mass shootings so far this year, and we're not even halfway through the year. All right, all we're trying to do is mitigate the problem. You're never going to wipe out everything, but you might cut it back. Not only you might, you will. You will definitely cut it back. So what if we only have one of these events once every 2 months instead of once every 2 or 3 weeks? Don't you think that's sort of worthwhile to at least have the discussion about that? And the answer that you'll get from some people is no. And at that point, you have to say, then what is your idea? And unfortunately, people just walk away at that point. And that's why I say we are getting exactly what we deserve. Because the people, the politicians who are responsible for this stuff, keep getting reelected by their constituents. And thus, there we go. We are no longer living in a functioning democracy. Welcome to life in America in 2022. Switching over to Live in America in 1999. You know, I talked about this after 9/11 and the fact that, you know, for years, going all the way back to the Conrad days, which is something you may not even remember. There were two spots on your AM radio where, you know, if the Russians attacked us in 1959, you were supposed to go to these two designated frequencies on your radio to get news and official information. And everybody has been somewhere at some point, probably hundreds of times, when you're just sitting there listening to something and all, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters in your area, and then you, used to be a 1,000 cycle tone. Now you get this chirping noise. And we go through these exercises all the time. We've been doing this for, what, 70 years in this country? It used to be called the EBS, Emergency Broadcast System. Now it's EAS, Emergency Alert System. And as I pointed out, in the early 2000s, the damn thing, after 70 years of trials and exercises, the damn thing didn't go off on 9/11. Now, if it doesn't go off on 9/11, what would trigger it? Do you have to look up and see Russian ICBMs flying over the capital of your state before the thing goes off? 70 years of this is a test of the emergency. And on 9/11, it doesn't go off. Well, this was before 9/11, because this was in 1999, I guess. Was it Clue? It might have been KLOU at the time. It was somewhere. It doesn't matter. But we started, you know, we were bored one day, and there are these orange envelopes tacked to the wall of the studio. We're looking, going, you know, does anybody know anything about this? Like, what would actually happen? So we started asking questions, and we pulled the thing down from the wall, opened it up, and started looking. And this is not only very informative, it's also hilariously funny. So here on the 38th anniversary week of JC's arrival in St. Louis, we flash back to 1999 and our in-depth investigation of the emergency alert system.
Well, while that song was playing, this is one of my favorite topics, the emergency action, what the hell used to be called the emergency broadcast system.
It's the EAS. The
now it's called the emergency
alert system, I guess.
Yes. Alert system.
Yeah.
Okay, now what happens is a little light goes off on the wall, and a little piece of paper comes shooting out of a slot down beneath me here. There are some that just, they're like little tests. This is a test of the emergency action system. You've heard all that stuff before. But this one is different. This one actually takes over the radio station.
If you don't press, you can play it now if you want.
Yeah, you can set it up and play it when you want to.
But if you don't, it'll automatically
seize the signal.
I want to see it seize the signal.
I believe it's...
Five minutes.
So this thing hit it. I thought this thing hit 7:32, so it should have taken over already.
15 maybe then.
Maybe it is 15, I'm not sure. All right, 2.5 hours. Are you sure it's a test? You sure it's not
a test? It's an acquired monthly test.
You should explain what this is for, too, because people listening...
This is for nothing.
No, it's
not. This is for the government to make you believe that somehow, if we're attacked, that somehow the radio station... Ah, Jesus, what now? Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Joe.
Hey.
It's 15 minutes.
15 minutes. It is 15. Minutes. Okay. Yeah. So if I don't, so what time did it come across? 7:32?
It's on the receipt.
3 or something like that.
Yeah. So actually, it looks like in about
it's over there in the
1, 2, 3, 4, maybe in about 3 to 4 minutes is when it will
some
cease.
Kind of bizarre way of making you think that if there really is an emergency, yeah. that we'll actually stay on the air to warn you about
stick
it.
Around.
Right. You know?
Right.
And so long.
This
sorry.
This is a bunch of crap from the government that makes you think that somehow if Saddam Hussein loses his mind and launches a Scud
right.
in this direction.
Right.
That somehow the radio station is going to be in a position to help your ass out.
Well, see, this goes back to earlier when you were talking about grocery stores. Here's the difference. You don't get emergency alert systems at Schnucks.
Joe, this one ought to be good. Okay, Close is going to compare grocery stores to being attacked in a nuclear holocaust.
If you were going to Schnucks and all of a sudden we would be attacked, I doubt very much that the guy would going to go, attention in aisle 7, we're being bombed. They're gone. But since we're a government
but
agency.
But aisle 6 is okay.
Aisle 6, you're
they're
cool.
They're just going after produce.
Everybody get to frozen foods immediately. It's just, it's the difference because we
take
are
take cover in the dairy
Saddam
section.
Saddam Hussein cannot grow cauliflower in the sand. He's coming after our cauliflower.
We are owned and operated by the government, basically.
Okay.
And that's what it's all about.
All right, so 7:32 is what time this thing came by. So what you're basically saying is sometime in the next 90 seconds, Joe?
Yeah, basically.
Sometime in the next 90 seconds, what's going to happen? I'm going to be talking, all of a sudden, just going to cut us off?
What happens is it seizes the air chain.
It seizes
right.
the Which air chain.
It kills all of your stuff and just
right.
goes straight into the air chain.
So I could be in the middle of some bit of hilarious comedy.
Yeah, what are the odds? Go ahead.
And the and the government is just going to butt in on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And start talking.
Because they own the signals. They own the airwaves.
They
we don't.
They can kiss my ass.
Well, they could probably do that if they wanted to.
What, Joe?
Well, the whole idea is they give you 15 minutes to own it yourself.
Right, right.
They give you 15 minutes to own it yourself. Joe, that's an interesting perspective. You are in control of your own destiny for 15 minutes.
After that, the government takes over.
And then they say, we're coming in.
Big Brother is watching.
Okay, now it's if they don't interrupt within the next 30 seconds, then they ain't going to do it, and the system doesn't work, and that means we're being attacked.
Joe, are you sure this is this the monthly today?
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
one of our sister stations already called me about it.
Oh, it's so funny because you'll be talking
up already.
You'll be talking, all of a sudden it goes tick, 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 and you hear this little ticking noise, and you're gone, so.
It's kind of like when the sale goes through.
Exactly. That's a determination.
They sort of seize the signal and do what they want.
Except this is only monthly, and the sales go through more often, actually.
They're going to give us 15 minutes, too. Yeah, your 15 minutes is up, buddy.
That's right. Change of format. Tick, 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 tick.
We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. There are 2 minutes remaining.
We're going to DEFCON 5.
That's right. Yeah. Don't be alarmed, ladies and gentlemen, when this happens.
Could it possibly have had anything to do with the changing of the clocks?
27 people were injured this week after they were told to spring ahead and fall back.
All right. We don't know anything. All right.
Exactly 2 minutes.
We have exactly 2 minutes. So now here's Mark with the news.
Quick. This is the way to do it.
Here's your alert.
This is the way to do it.
This just in. Bend over. Grab your ankles. Kiss your butt goodbye. That message from the EAS. That's all I'm telling anybody.
So now, Joe, just so that people who are listening to this have some idea what we're talking about. In the event of an actual emergency, how would this system that is going to interrupt us sometime in the next 90 seconds.
Minute 30.
How would it help us? John all of a sudden is the Secretary of Defense. John thinks he's in war games.
I'll be in the bunker if you need me. See you later.
I have thermonuclear impact in 30 seconds.
We have Joshua sitting here. How is this supposed to work in the event of an actual emergency?
There's like codes and things.
Yeah.
If you look in the EAS.
We have code words. You open it up, and there's special code words.
Where are their code words?
It is not to be open until an actual emergency.
That is
1 minute.
JC has to open it, and then Close has to verify it.
You're supposed to know. Yeah, that's right. We crack the little plastic thing. We each have a key to the men's room.
The
that's where we go
verified.
And hide.
Wait
and we get bombed.
What happens if I open it now? What are they going to do to me?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, the air raid has begun.
45 seconds.
Close has the con.
That's right.
Close has been,
that's what it is.
Close has been conning people for years.
Better believe it, pal.
Yeah.
Built a career on it.
Am I supposed to know how this works?
30 seconds.
John, and you better learn.
Don't know now. It's
you're
too
scaring
late.
Us.
And you better learn pretty fast. You got 30 seconds. Right. The entire St. Louis area
so
is toast.
In the event of an actual emergency, Joe, what would happen?
15 seconds.
I can answer that.
Be quick.
All right, Mark, you answer. Go ahead.
You'll be given code words
Ten.
To
who's
verify.
Gonna give, who's
you,
gonna give
there me? Are code words in the studio. in the book.
Where? To,
five.
That's back in the book for the EAS. To verify.
I love you all. It's been good working with you.
Yeah. Love
See you,
Ma.
Later.
Love.
This is the required monthly test. This station serves the bi-state St. Louis operational area.
Somebody get me to a hospital.
I'm getting the hell out of here. They obviously recorded that guy next to the surf somewhere. What was all that noise in the background?
Right. Now, Joe, I go back to my original question. How is that supposed to help me?
That there? That won't help you, but if there is a real emergency, they'll, like, send some other message along with it.
We'll send some other message.
They assume we'll stay here to read it.
Yeah, that is exactly correct.
Like, I assume you're in there to read it within 15 minutes if there is a real emergency.
Mm-hmm. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the whole thing Close was talking about the code, that's just to make sure it is a real emergency.
That's you verify whether it's a real code or a real emergency.
But are you trying to tell me that somewhere in the studio there's an envelope, and
yes.
inside the envelope there's like a code word?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
EAS book.
But
sure
now,
is.
But now, if I go to that envelope right now and open that up, what happens to me?
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, it can't be an envelope. It has to be a case where you crack it.
Read what it says in the front. It says authenticator words.
EAS authenticator list
right.
for official use only. Do not open until needed to authenticate actual emergency messages.
And it's got a different word for each month.
Note the authentication words received on the message, e.g. Alpha Golf.
Ooh, cool.
Open
Bravo 1.
That's Army Talk.
Open the red envelope. Proceed down the column of the current month to the appropriate day noted, being careful to dodge the missiles.
That's right.
In the message and compare the words received in the message against the authentication list. If they match, you have an authentic message. Test authenticator words are listed below. Note the authentication words received in the message, Romeo Juliet.
Cool.
This is like Crimson Tide.
Cool.
Compare the test authenticator words in the month received in the message against the words.
This is funny,
words,
don't you guys?
Yeah.
This is serious.
Against the words listed below, if they match, you have an authentic test message. I don't have the slightest idea what I just read.
And you don't need to know.
And with Scud missiles being launched at me, I'm going to be sitting here going, all right, Alpha, Golf,
Romeo,
Romeo
and Juliet. Where for it out there? What? It's because it's a verification so that they know you're not getting a false alarm, right. False alert.
We're in the month of April.
There's no station in St. Louis. We wouldn't want to do a false nuclear alert or anything.
Okay. And then the termination word is Foxtrot Charlie. What the hell is going on? Suddenly,
it's too obvious. Though.
Suddenly, it's like an episode of.
I mean, if I was going to write a fake warning, I'd put Foxtrot Charlie because it seems like an obvious code word.
Especially now that we just broadcast.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Joe.
Was I not supposed to do that?
Every
probably not.
Probably not.
On that note, I got to go.
Engineering is bailing out, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got resumes to send out.
There's nothing on here that says I can't read it. I could have read last month's, and then we wouldn't be any...
JC, there are four men in black suits and sunglasses
right.
with large guns at the front door looking for you.
What else is new?
If they're like the earthquake, or if there's a big storm coming in, they also give you an EAS alert, and you can get on the air and say, we are
just
having
an earthquake,
a big problem.
Scooter public. I'm hiding under the counter.
And the ultimate design is also to allow the president from the White House to be able to override programming on every radio station in America.
That's right.
And address everybody simultaneously.
And there'll be like one station that will stay on the air within this like three-state area. You know what station that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I can just imagine.
There you go.
WEW.
That's it, baby. 1,000 red hot watts.
Can't stop Glenn Miller just
course,
for an emergency.
It's a daytime station, so we get bombed at night. We're SOL. You
Oops.
Know, it ain't gonna help.
Bad planning. Our bad.
Well, that's not even fair.
What do you mean it's not fair?
It's not even fair that they should be on the air.
But you know why they do that?
Because you know what would happen if there was a real alert and they said, all right, guys, here's the deal. Every radio station is off the air. KMOX is the only station on the
right.
air. You guys are it. You have to save St. Louis. One by one. Heart attack, heart attack, heart attack, heart attack, heart attack. Seven guys piled up in the hallway would look like Jonestown.
But they got all the funeral homes on the air anyway, so they're working trade. I mean, that's part of the deal.
Kudas just backs up a giant meat wagon to one Memorial Drive and starts hauling, starts dragging guys out by their ankles.
They're throwing corpses off the third floor. All right, here's another
just,
one.
They're using a pitchfork. They're just like, where goes another one?
Here's another guy from Continuity. Take him too.
Body stacked up by Jones.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.